the Baby Wants Candy Podcast Holiday Edition with me, Ashley Ward.
Me, Chris Graves.
And me, John Hartman.
And Dan Wessel's on keys. Yeah.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
John Hartman on Jingle Bells.
Thank you.
I want to give credit where credit is due.
And that was fun to do them.
He's put them away, thankfully.
Him.
Oh, I did too, but I mean, we don't want John underlining all of his statements with jingle bells.
Yeah. They are out of the, they're not like attached to my belt or anything, so they won't like jingle during the
They're not
recording.
Like on your shoe like a one-man band.
Like Dick Van Dyke.
I had a dress as a little girl that had jingle bells sewed into the hem. It was my favorite when I was really young.
Annoying.
I know, I loved it though. I was just like,
Everywhere you went, here she comes.
Yep, exactly. I was like a cat. With a bell around her neck.
Dick Van Dyke is going to be in the new Mary Poppins.
I heard that. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, it's not out yet.
But people have seen it.
There have been screenings, yeah. And it's supposed to be very good.
Yeah.
But he, like, I read a thing where he asked them if he could be in it. He doesn't really act anymore. He's going to be in it.
They were like,
that's
no.
Exciting.
No, we're going a different direction.
They're like,
so
send a self-tape. We'll see what we can do.
How cruel.
He sends it in like a Nokia video. .3GP video or something.
Oh my gosh, that's going to be exciting. I'm very excited to see that. I'm going to see a lot of movies over the holidays.
Yeah. Do you go with your family to see them, or is this like to escape them and you'll be by yourself?
Well, this year's with my in-laws, so, and they're kind of busy when we get there because we're getting there kind of well before Christmas, and so...
You're getting there early September.
We've been there since August 1st.
Ashley's in on like an ISDN feed from the family.
Yeah. No, we're just going to have a lot of free time, so we're going to go. It won't be an escape. It's more just like, oh, hey, we never go to the movies. Let's go to a bunch in Denver.
But yeah. Well, they have children, right?
My brother-in-law and sister-in-law both have kids.
I mean, will there be movies that you're like, we'll go see this one, not everybody?
Oh, most of these we will just be going to see because they're going to be doing... Whatever, you know, their stuff.
Not
going
to take them to see Suspiria or something.
No, we are going to take them to see that. They asked to see that. Oh, so.
That's a cautionary tale screening for them.
Yeah, I think it's good.
This could happen to you.
Yeah, and I think you want to teach your children young about the dangers of the world. No, we'll probably take them to some movie, but I don't know what one.
My family, we will go this Christmas. It'll be the one movie my dad sees this year. And I have to kind of like pick it as I do every year because they always want to go, but they never go except when I'm home because they know I like movies. But I have to really curate it right or it will be bad. Like, so I've made mistakes in the past. Like, because there's no real good algorithm for what my family might like or what my dad might like.
What was a big miss?
Okay. Big miss. I thought this would, and I'd seen it ahead of time. I thought Silver Linings Playbook. Couple
oh
years ago.
Yeah, that feels like a dad.
It's
friendly.
Like a rousing. Yeah. It's a family.
But they
dynamic.
Don't. They don't believe in mental illness.
Well, no, no. I mean, my dad actually works very hard with mental illness in his job. But he thought there yelling in that movie.
Is that
too
how you
yelling.
Phrase it? By the way, he works hard with mental illness.
He works hard for the money for mental illness. Sorry, that's what I meant to say.
Too much yelling.
Too much yelling.
He said they were yelling at each other too much.
So now is that a thing that you use when you're calculating whether or not
it has
how
to
much
really
yelling?
Be a pleasant, innocuous movie in a lot of ways.
Ooh.
Like one of the big hits from a couple years ago, Finding Dory. That one did really well.
That he loved that.
Loved
okay, so
that.
Mary Poppins Returns feels like the obvious choice this year.
I think okay. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
He should see Revolutionary Road. if he likes
yelling,
a nice quiet movie with no yelling.
Yeah.
Well, my mother, we saw No Country for Old Men with her,
I can tell you these are bad choices right at the top.
Well, I hadn't seen it, and I wanted to see it, and she was like, "Fine, I'll go." And then she was like, "I like the suspense, but it was also kind of boring." And then
that's pretty true of that movie.
She loves suspenseful movies, and she can't see him with my stepdad because he doesn't like suspenseful movies. So she was excited by that prospect, but then she's like, but I mean, there was a lot of times where it was just long and boring. And then a person in the theater with us watching the movie had a heart attack during the movie, which isn't funny. They lived, I think. I don't know.
Oh
and
my
she
God.
Still thought it was boring.
I know. I was like, well, Mama, like afterwards when she was saying it was boring, I'm like, well, Mama, somebody wasn't born to that guy. Like, he obviously, like, elevated his blood pressure to a dangerous level.
Well, he didn't die. It was, like, that's one of those heart-pounding movies.
Yeah, I think it was just, you know. And it wasn't, like, they weren't even, like, running to get him or anything. It was just, like, they kind of walked in as the movie was ending.
Oh.
The EMTs.
Should we improvise a song, perhaps?
I think we should.
Maybe we should go. So we've gotten a bunch of suggestions from some of our friends out there in the social media community. And we asked for a couple of different suggestions. I don't know what we're going to get right now, but we're going to figure one out. And we'll go to the mailbag, as it were, and grab one.
Let's ask Jacques to give us one.
Oh, Jacques, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. So on Facebook and Instagram, we asked, we're doing a special Baby Ones Candy holiday podcast this week. Quick comment on your best, worst gift you've ever received or given below. And we got a lot of responses. And one of the ones that we got comes from Michelle Boyd from Australia, one of our Australian fans.
Oh.
She says, my boyfriend, who became my husband, gave me a pen and pencil set for our first Christmas together. So romantic! Exclamation point, followed by a sad face emoji.
Oh. I didn't know which way that was going.
I know. At first I was like, wow, she's nicer than me.
There's certain pens and pencils I would love to receive.
But sure. A pen and pencil set? Have you ever gotten one of those?
No, but I would like to.
Mm-mm.
Well, let's do a scene about it.
Merry Christmas!
Oh, the decorations are so lovely.
I can't believe it's finally here.
I can't wait to see what Santa has brought us. Surely something romantic and poetic.
I'm still here to watch you
open it. Oh, Santa!
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning. Christmas morning. Good Christmas morning.
My wife and I have been anticipating your arrival for so long.
This is our first Christmas as man and wife.
Oh, I know.
Oh.
And that's why you waited to see us open our gifts?
After my rounds on Christmas Eve, I'll visit one newlywed couple and watch them open their gift.
I had no idea.
Well, I wonder what he's given us. Perhaps a trip to a Tahitian vacation spot.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, or maybe a stool massage situation at a spa.
Yes.
To massage the stool out of you?
What?
What were you asking?
No, Santa, where you sit in a stool and lean over.
Like that sounds lovely. I meant D-U-A-L.
Uh-huh.
Duel is what you meant.
Yes.
Yes.
You pronounce
where that. Where you get a doula to massage the stool out of you.
Yeah, well,
I understand.
There's only
I didn't get you that.
So only so many babies to be delivered. In between babies, they have to massage something out of someone.
Surely. We'll open it.
We'll just open it. Shall we open it together?
Well, it's such a small package. It must be very expensive.
Oh, my goodness. His and hers diamond bracelets, maybe? It's a pen and pencil set. Oh, my God, I could not have bet that we would get such a gift. This feels like a grift, this pen and pencil set.
What? It's a pen and pencil set.
I know.
This is the worst Christmas gift yet. If you ask me if I want it, I say niet. I don't want a pen and pencil set.
You're welcome, you're welcome. You're welcome, you're welcome. You're welcome, you're welcome. For your very favorite Christmas gift.
Alright, well, I'll open this other little box.
Oh, I didn't see another one. Oh, good.
Okay.
Open it, dear.
Well, this is a little box. I hold it up to my eyes. I will open the wrapping paper and have a little surprise. Oh, ugh. I'm only one to curse you, Santa. This is coming from my lips because the stupid little Christmas gift is a box of paper clips.
What? You're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome for your very favorite Christmas gift. I love to see the delight in your eyes.
Last Christmas. Christmas we were solitary, and this Christmas we got stationary. I guess we'll have to accept.
We will have to generate some gratitude as much as we can muster. Oh, good Santa also gave us a laptop keyboard duster.
You're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome for your very favorite Christmas. But wait.
Oh, this was just a tease, dear.
What is it, Santa? I can't wait.
Well, you first thought that I was being just a little stinker, but I got you a massage coupon for getting poop out of your sphincter. You're welcome, you're welcome,
Santa.
You're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome for your very favorite Christmas gift.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle, for that amazing suggestion.
All the way from Australia.
Yeah.
We love it. That's great.
I wonder if Michelle's ever gotten a lamington.
What's that?
That's a little like cake that they eat. It's like a dried dessert cake that they eat.
I'm sure she has.
We have a guest we'd like to join right now from Baby Wants Candy. You know him. You love him. It's Brendan Dowling!
Hello! Hello! My arms are laden with carefully wrapped presents that I'm distributing to everybody.
Just set them down over here.
So much figgy pudding.
Well.
And not in any containers, just held in your arms.
Oh, I don't believe figgy pudding. You haven't eaten it until you've just stuck your hand in a cauldron and then just walk around with a nice pocket full of it for the rest of the day.
Some people
pocket
have a
full of pudding.
Betty Davis's least remembered role.
Yeah, unfortunately, she's a tour de force in pocket full of pudding.
1957, RKO Pictures.
Just a solid 40 minutes of blackface in the middle. Of that. Yeah. Any of those old movies when you put them on. Like, there'll be like Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland would be like, let's put on a show. And then it's like, oh boy.
Oh boy. Like, and it's never who you expect. It's like, well, surely this 8-year-old. Oh no!
Shirley Temple is doing what?
Yeah.
Brendan, you look so full of festive cheer.
Well, I am full of festive cheer, Chris, because this is one of my favorite times of the year.
Is it?
I think so, yeah, for sure. I love Christmas. I don't have any bad memories associated with it. I come from a place of holiday privilege.
From Virginia?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
The Virginia of the North.
You went to school in Virginia.
I went to school. I was educated in Virginia, but raised in Massachusetts.
Or as my people call it, Massachusetts. That's not what people in Georgia would say all the time.
Good Lord.
Michael Dukakis from Massachusetts.
Okay, he did a lot for education, and if we want to compare the public schools of both states, I'm happy to.
You would win.
And that's why I'm here to talk about Michael Dukakis' educational policies in the 1980s.
When are we going to get a Michael Dukakis movie? We got the Gary Hart movie.
Gosh, Chris Messina, the role you were born to play.
Yes.
I mean, that's a really good...
Perfect casting.
He would nail it.
I thought you were saying the name of like a Christmas elf.
Christmas Messina. I did too. I was like, who is that?
I wish I was friends with Chris Messina now, because like I would always, like holiday times, I would be like, hey, Chris Messina, what's going on? Like, yeah, just misspelling his name. Or
Remind me who that is.
He's in the Mindy Project. Yeah. He's played Amy Adams' love interest twice on both ends of the spectrum.
He's real cute.
Sharp Objects, and then what was the other?
Julie and Julia.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, he's cute, and he looks like a friend of mine. He does.
Is your friend Chris Messina?
No. My friends,
Everyone wishes they were friends with Chris Messina, but no one is.
He never
let anyone in.
He never responds to my Facebook friend request. Like, it's just sitting there.
And you know he's seen it.
Mm-hmm. And you've made a lot of fake accounts to request multiple.
Yeah, I've Mindy Project 69.
Official Amy Adams.
Yeah, official Amy Adams. Unofficial Amy Adams.
The Amy Adams.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to have Brendan create a new holiday song with us right now.
Oh, it would be a treasure.
And we don't know what it's going to be. We're going to improvise it, and we're going to get a suggestion from someone online.
Great. Chris Mead, also from the UK.
Hey.
Chris Mead
has written about the best or worst gift he's ever gotten. He says, in a bid to make me into a grown-up, my girlfriend persuaded my mom and dad, mom is mom in the UK, my mom and dad to give me towels. She didn't even give them to me herself. She sabotaged my main present givers. So I think he means she sabotaged the parents in convincing them into giving him towels when they usually got him better gifts.
What kind of rancid things was he using?
I know. I have a lot. Like, can we sing or can we just unpack this room? It sits in the corner, threaded with silver and gold, covered in bacteria and all kinds of mold. It's a thing that you don't want, but you have it aplenty. It's the rancid bath towel that you use when you're 20.
Call it a towel movement. Call it a towel movement. As it runs through your heaven sent, it's a towel movement.
I didn't mean to break your heart. It's just our relationship is right at the start. I wanted your Christmas to be oh so merry. That's why
movement, towel movement, running through ya, it's heaven sent, it's a towel movement.
I hope that it'll help me through all of these years. I hope that this damn towel can soak up my tears. I wanna use it on my body and my hair, but just like my life, this towel is totally threadbare.
It's a towel movement. It's a towel movement. Running through ya, it's heaven sent. It's a towel movement.
About to die, I hope you'll sometimes think of me as you get dry.
And this old towel, I surely will say, and I hope they pull it over my eyes when I'm in the grave.
It's the end of the towel movement. Sent. It was a towel movement. Thanks, Chris. That was great.
And how dare you know, I'm just going to say this as an editorializing, how dare you complain about that, because you know when your parents are buying you bath towels, that is like at a level of towel...
like this ran out of
like,
gas.
No. I'm loading up, Chris. I'm loading up. No, if you're buying towels for yourself, you're buying like some basic, disgusting,
right.
Like Howard Johnson
scratchy.
Knockoff, scratchy, like Brillo pad. And you know, like Mr. and Mrs. Mead, or Dr. and Mrs. Mead, or
Dr. and Mr. Mead.
Well, I don't know about Chris's parents, what titles they prefer, but. you know that they bought him like a much higher level, like a premium quality towel.
But that's the sort of thing you don't appreciate until you're older. Like our, you know, children hate to get like socks or...
Another thing, you won't buy nice ones for yourself.
But then when you get them at Christmas, gosh, what a gift. You're just like over the moon.
I would encourage the three of you to buy nicer things for yourself.
Well, it's more like when you're young and you don't want to... Your money is tight and you're thinking about like, I want to go get... Crunk this weekend. I need plenty of money. I can't be spending that on towels.
Well, I mean, the three of you have spent a lot of time getting crunk.
Oh man, so much time and money.
Yeah. Well, I used to. That's how I paid through for college, participating in local crunk competitions.
Crunk competition.
We're talking about two different things.
I think you mean crumping.
Crumping.
No,
why you didn't do well at that?
I did horribly.
Because you thought you were just showing up wasted.
Everyone else is doing a very intense, aggressive dance movement,
and Brendan's just wasted off his ass. It's kind of disrespectful.
I guess give him fourth place.
Yeah, we want to make him feel a part of it.
See you guys later. We're all the family.
He's got that whole Jaclyn Smith Art Carnage baggage already. We can't weigh him down anymore.
I have like for those of you who can't see me, the right side of my face is a full Jaclyn Smith tattoo.
And the left side is made up to look like Art Carney.
Yeah.
He does one of those profile singing performances.
Yeah. But it's Art Carney from Harry and Tonto. So,
thank God. Yeah. Art Carney's heyday.
Oscar-winning role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the most controversial Oscar wins of all time, actually.
Even more controversial than Marissa Tomei for My Cousin Vinny.
Don't you dare. That was deserved.
It's not controversial to me.
No, own your statements, Ashley.
It's only controversial because people think Jack Palance read the wrong name because he was old. Which,
exactly. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's why. Marissa
Tomei?
It's a humongous controversy.
No, it's controversial because she beat four amazing actresses. I don't
know. Oh, Chris, you love Enchanted April. Tell us about your favorite scene from Damage, Chris.
My favorite scene
drag
from
her.
April was when they were swimming in that pool.
Yeah, was Joan Plowright swimming? No.
I love she was in April.
They don't give it to comedic performances enough.
Right.
And it's
it
a great,
great.
It's, she's so great in the movie.
And they didn't that year either.
Oh. Partially filmed in my hometown. I saw Ralph Macchio at Shoney's. At the breakfast buffet.
Who were, remind me, Brendan is a resident Oscar expert. The other Best Actor nominees the year Art Carney won.
Oh, God.
It's tough, but
was it 74?
Yes. So it's Al Pacino for The Godfather.
I think they all were like other Oscars.
So would it be John Cazale also?
He would have been up for supporting.
This was Best Actor, not supporting. Okay.
But he beat out like Gene Hackman.
I bet Jack Nicholson was in there.
Not Cuckoo's Nest. He won
like
for
Marvin
that.
Gardens, or
why was that one controversial?
Because Harry and Tonto is not really considered to be a great movie or a classic, and it's certainly like a sentimental, like softy kind of film. And Art Carney is like him cross country with a cat.
Yeah,
it's like a pretty slight movie. Yeah.
Was it probably more of a chance to award Art Carney,
yes,
who had been working
this
for
this is like
50
a
years.
Color of Money kind of.
It might have been like it split the vote, like when Melissa Hewitt won Homecoming Queen.
Oh. Yeah, and who split the vote to allowing Melissa Hewitt's
probably
unfettered
like
rise
Amy
to the
Becker,
top?
Kim Zeidler, and Laurie Woodzik.
Oh,
split
trio,
a lot of
yeah.
the vote, and then yeah. Melissa Hewitt was in the band.
Okay,
so.
Here are the four other nominees.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman for Lenny.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yep.
Albert Finney for Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, they wouldn't have given it to him.
No.
Al Pacino for Godfather Part 2. Mm-hmm. And Jack Nicholson for Chinatown.
I mean, that's a big year.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And Art Carney wins. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
But I also think that's kind of fun when, like, you don't realize... Like, that's a lesson to me, that you don't always realize that you're... in the midst of great... Like, you don't understand... You don't realize what a classic movie is until, like, 10 years
right.
or 20... Like...
you might think
does
it's
that make sense?
Yeah. You might think it's good, but yeah.
That's a systemic problem. People like they love to call something early to have the hot take on it.
Yeah.
This is the masterpiece or the classic. And how many Best Picture winners, especially, were wrong on that? You know, they want it to be like Crash is going to be talked about forever.
Okay, I'm just going to say these words to you. Judy Davis in Husbands of Wives.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
She should have won.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah.
She was amazing.
That's
true.
Same year
Marissa Tomei.
Yes.
But I love Marissa Tomei in that, and I love that they did a funny. We have really gotten off topic.
No, what was the topic?
I don't know.
I think we are on topic.
Oh, but like, I bet Marissa Tomei, like, if I was friends with her, that I would have, like,
That was the topic.
I would, but like similar to like if I was friends with Chris Messina, I would be like Merry Chris Messina. But with Marissa Tomei, I bet I would have a fun like Merry Charisma.
Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, Merry. How would you do it, Chris Marissa Tomei? I don't know.
Chris and Marissa.
Marissa
Tomei.
Christmas.
Marissa Charisma.
Yeah, I bet.
Merry
Marissa Charisma.
Marissa.
Merry Marissimus. Have yourself a merry little Marissa. I guarantee you that Marissa Tomei has a holiday party that's amazing that she calls Merry Marissimus.
Miss Tomei?
Yes.
All of the food is set out, and your four invitees are going to be arriving soon. Judy Davis, Joan Plowright, Vanessa Redgrave, and Miranda Richardson.
Perfect. The women I defeated in the Oscars of 1991. Table set, it's gonna be a happy day. Gather round, ladies, just so I can say hello and congratulations. It's an honor to be nominated. I'm sorry though, my hand was faded. I beat your ass for best supporting actress. I beat your ass for best supporting actress. It was the thing that will stand the test when I beat your ass for best supporting actress.
Well, good day. It's me, Judy Davis. You are failing. I know you beat me, this dear Australian. But your defeat of me, well, it was quite narrow. I had to mire through the marital strife of Woody Allen and Mia Farrow.
Still, I beat your ass for best actress. I beat your ass for best actress. And maybe this party show, I beat your ass for best actress.
Oi, it's me, your favorite Joan Plowright. That Oscar ceremony, it certainly didn't go right. I thought Enchanted April would get me the win, but Aussie, you probably won because you're young and you're thin.
Still, I beat your ass for best actress.
You beat our ass.
I beat your ass for best actress.
You beat our ass.
They saw your performances and said we'll take a pass. So I beat your ass for best actress.
Well, you say you win, but the four of us said nope, 'cause you refused to ever show us the name in the envelope. Maybe he read it wrong, that wouldn't be too hot, 'cause when they said you won, I said Jack Palance, believe it or not.
I beat you. Best actress.
But bitch, I already won for Julia.
I beat your ass for best actress.
And in 2 years I got nominated for Tom and Viv.
Okay, don't come at me en masse, because I beat your ass for best actress.
In a supporting role.
I can do a one-arm push-up. It's also weirdly like age-shaming of Jack Palance that,
yeah.
Oh, he's senile and that's why he got it wrong.
Yeah. Right.
It's not quite fair.
I mean, he didn't add to his credibility with the push-ups thing.
I agree to disagree.
How to make an Oscar clip reel.
Well,
Jack Palance could teach you a lesson.
I disagree to agree.
Oh,
I'm listening.
Flipping the paradigm.
True story, my friend Eric Weiler and I saw Damage in the movie theaters on Super Bowl Sunday in 1993, I think.
I don't even know what Damage is.
It's Jeremy Irons is a wealthy British man. He falls in love with his...
Juliette Binoche?
And who's dating his son, who is Rupert...
Everett?
No, the other... the guy who's on Sherlock.
Graves?
Yes, yeah. And so...
Scudder from Morris.
Yeah, and then they have a super intense sexual relationship. And Juliette Binoche says, "Damaged people are the most dangerous because we do not feel hurt."
What? That makes no sense.
You know what? You don't make sense because you're defending Joan Plowright.
I don't know, but my panties are on the floor, so that works.
And then Jeremy Irons and Juliette Binoche are having like incredibly erotic sex, and Rupert Graves, they live in like the fourth floor or whatever, like that's important. Rupert Graves barges in and he sees his father making love to his girlfriend in a way that he's only dared to dream about. Mm. And he's so stunned and flabbergasted that he staggers backwards and he tips over the railing of the apartment building and he falls to his death, which then causes Miranda Richardson in a Shakespearean monologue of grief and pain. She like confronts Jeremy Irons in the bedroom, and I think she has her, like, she's been beating herself up, like she's like bloody or something, like, but she's just been like literally pounding her breast. Yikes. About how much pain she's in.
Doesn't Rupert Graves also die under like a bookcase in Howard's End?
That's Howard's End. Yeah, spoiler alert. But I think that's a different I don't think that's Rupert Graves.
Okay, because that would have been two movies in 1 year where he died. Like,
yeah, I forget what that actor's name is.
Somebody dies under a bookcase. Yeah. And I remember just thinking like, that wouldn't kill you. You just push the books off.
Okay, well, let's think about what the metaphor is.
So this holiday season, we've talked about a lot of fun Christmas specials and whatnot. Try Damage. That's something for the... I bet you haven't seen it.
It's like...
Start a new holiday tradition of gathering your family around to watch Damage.
Yeah. It's available. Is it available, Brendan, to rent or own?
Yes, yeah. Shout Factory just put up a beautiful 26th anniversary... compilation.
Well, it's probably on Filmstruck.
They're coming out with the Criterion Collection channel, right?
They are.
I don't think it is regarded as Louis Malle's best, but I really love Miranda Richardson. I want more for her.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, we did our own song there based on our own musings. Let's grab a suggestion.
Yeah.
Okay, so we asked again, best worst holiday tradition. Michael Starcevich from Chicago writes, his gramps was a sweet, hilarious grandfather who was apparently pretty constipated 1 year.
Oh.
So he asked Michael's mother to make a nightmare concoction of prune apple dressing, a.k.a. pap crap, which was made of stewed prunes, apples, brown sugar, and loads of TMI.
I think you told us everything, though.
Yeah. What else is in there? X-Lax?
No. Oh, boy. Thank you, Michael.
That is awful.
Thank you, Michael.
Stockings are hung with care. But there's a few things left to do. And I know as I look up at the stars above, I still can't poo. It's a hard Christmas for me. It's a hard, hard Christmas for me.
Well, I've made my bed. I've washed the sheets with lots of starch. But I've got to get some water to drink because I'm totally parched. I'm dehydrated. I can't have a tear in my eye because this Christmas is not just hard. It's also awfully dry. It's a
hard Christmas.
all gather around the Yule log. Later, you'll see, we'll have to go and clean the clog that Grandpa left for me. It may not be festive, it may be sad, but at least your Grandpa is pooping again, even though it's pretty bad.
It was a hard Christmas. It's a hard Christmas. We'll be grooving when that Yule log's moving. It's a hard Christmas. Thank you guys so much. That was
these
amazing.
Were so many fun suggestions. So much fun making up a bunch of new holiday classics, I think.
We
I
did
don't
it.
Think that's overstating
Mission
it.
Mission accomplished. New classics.
The suggestions were so good, they basically wrote themselves.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much for everything you submitted to us. We loved having that. And from Baby Wants Candy, we wish all of you a very Merry Christmas. We also want to make sure that you rate and review us on iTunes. So we'd love to thank one of our users right now who gave us a 5-star review, Viking200. Thank you so much, Viking200, for listening to us. If you rate and review us, maybe we'll read your name on the air at some point. We'd love to hear from all of our fans out there, so thank you so much.
And as always, thanks to Dan Wessels on the keys. Thanks to our incredible guest, Brendan Dowling. This has been a great day.
It has. I feel relieved. Like,
me
I just
too.
Moved a bunch of good energy.
And I hope everyone has a really lovely holiday season.
Yeah, I mean, if I was making a list of our best episodes, this one would definitely be number 2.
It's a
hard